this is Claire Midgley, interviewing for the Dialectum Heritage Project on the 27th of October 2022. And I'm with Caroline and Christine. Could I get you both to just introduce yourselves, just your name, where you're born, where you live now?
Well, I'm Christine Wright. I was born in Helmsley and spent my working life in Scarborough and retired back to the family home in Helmsley. And I have a few memories of Uncle Jack, as we called him, because my father still had an allotment in his part of the garden in Bridge Street. He kept bees.
So this is, just for the record, this is John William Peacock, who was interviewed in the Helmsley Response Book. And what was it you called him? Because you didn't call him John, did you call him Jack?
Uncle Jack.
Always that called, was, mother was always referred Uncle to Jack, him yes. as Uncle Jack, yeah.
So whether everybody at the time called him Jack.
But your memory is...
Yes, it? Uncle Jack, yes.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Caroline Haywood. My grandparents were born in Helmsley and I was married in Helmsley. My mum remembered Jack. I never knew him. He died 6 years before I was born. But mum always had such warm memories of him. And when I got older, she always used to say, you would have liked me, Uncle Jack. He had integrity. He was down to earth. He was straightforward. He was, you know, he was your sort of fella. And I went, oh, good. So that's nice. She always talked about the bees as well. And she wasn't allowed protective equipment because he didn't need it, and so she didn't either. So I don't know how many times she was stung. She never said that. But, yeah.
Where did he keep the bees then? Did he have an allotment? Or?
No, he lived in a house in Bridge Street. I think I put the number, but you won't want that. And they had long back gardens because years ago they kept hens and maybe a cow or a pig. Well, Uncle Jack did keep a pig.
Pig was common, wasn't it?
And the bees were right at the bottom. Well, when we walked round to Dad's allotment, we had to go past these bees, my sister and I. And she would stop. I can hear them buzzing. I says, well, we'll run then. And we always went to their house on Christmas Day for our tea. And that was lovely because we went the back way into the kitchen and straight ahead was the parlour, which wasn't used, but it was today. And to the left there was a room. Because you went down a step, it was called the low end. And at the other end there was another little room and that was yon end. And my father and Auntie Ethel were the two youngest and their mother died in the 1919 flu epidemic. Yeah. So they would spend a lot of time at Uncle Jack's next door and they would sleep there because their father was a postman and he had to work.
Interchangeable, their houses, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
But other than that, yes, I vaguely remember him in the chapel, which was in Bridge Street.
But he was a lay preacher.
Yes, yes, that's right. And he obviously, according to that... printout did it was 50 years I think. So other than that, there's little snippets here and there that, you know, see him in the greenhouse looking after the tomatoes.
Did he always have that big moustache when you knew him?
Well, I think so. You see, that's the picture there, that's how I do remember him. Well, I would be just old enough to sort of remember him from then. But,
it's a great photograph, this one.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
And they say surrounded by children, but he didn't have any.
They couldn't have any children. Well, they didn't have any children. And from what Mum always used to talk about, either her dad, her grandfather, or George Wright.
George, yes.
Who lived next door, say. Or Uncle Jack, one of them, it was Auntie Dolly. Dorothy was, her mum wasn't married when she was born. And so when she did get married to this bloke, Thompson, I think he was, he didn't want Dolly.
It was Ernest Hunton, wasn't it?
Yes, Hunton.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hunton.
You see, your memory's better than that. I have to see it written down before I remember. But, yeah, I think they both were quite keen on looking after kids, you know, taking care of, you know, as not just a civic duty, but, yeah, it's important. And I always had a lot of respect for them. That they did that, you know.
They did that,
sort of
didn't
stand
they?
Back, you know. They actually did something practical to look after the children, you know.
Caroline's mum is my cousin. She was one of the older ones, you see, and I was
one
of the
younger
ones.
Yeah, she's gone now, Fred, but, yeah. Because she would have loved it. She would have loved it.
And you say you thought Uncle Jack kept a pig as well?
Yes.
A lot of people did, though, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yeah. And I have a memory of being there and Dad chasing the pig round the hen run. I don't know whether he had an axe or anything in his hand, but that's what it would be for. But that's all I remember, just that little window. Yes.
Oh, that's fun.
Yes.
Uncle Tommy chasing
because
the pig.
Because these gardens run side by side.
Yeah, they all were long and narrow, weren't they?
Oh, yes,
always.
Yes, because they all grew vegetables, etc.
My granddad's was long and narrow. Mm. Yeah, yeah. He was more of a flower man, though, really, my granddad. Yeah, wasn't he really? I don't remember him growing veg. But Alf did, didn't he? Uncle Alf always had a lot of
veg. Well, Dad had part of the garden next to Uncle Jack.
Mm.
And I can remember keeping hens. Mum used to send us round to collect the eggs. All this flapping. I said, oh, I don't... But...
And what were Christmases like, seeing as you touched upon that kind of one memory? Can you, what was Christmases like later on or then?
Our family went at Christmas for Christmas tea because in those days the Bridge Street Methodist Chapel used to go carol singing on Christmas morning. The other chapel went Christmas Eve. So after tea, Dad and Uncle Jack would count the money from the collecting boxes. But Aunt Ginny, his wife, was a wonderful cook.
Jane. Ginny always was.
Yes.
She was always Ginny.
But I can see her standing now at the table in the kitchen. I presume she baked her own bread. I couldn't be sure. A tall loaf. And slicing it like that.
Yes.
And then that was the crust. Then she would butter it and slice that. And that's how she would serve the bread and butter.
Oh, I mean, I used to shove it under her arm, really near her breast.
Oh.
Like that, when she was...
And
I used to take the top of the stove off. It used to terrify me as a child. Terrify me. I think she's going to cut herself wide open with that
what
knife.
What a wonderful way of...
Yes, I know.
It
must have been a wonderful knife. Because the knives I've got, I couldn't do that.
No.
But, and my mother said that when she made her Christmas cake, there was a black range, you see, in the kitchen, and so it would be baking overnight in the side oven. She would pick over every currant in case there was a stone in it.
Oh, I've done that.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
And, you know, she was so meticulous in her baking.
Did she put a coin in it?
I can't remember.
Wasn't that more puddings, wasn't it? Coins and little favours was puddings rather than
Christmas
cakes.
Puddings,
wasn't it?
Yes. Yes. Mm. Yeah, so.
My Ma looked at her choked on something. I was that sort of a child.
And so did you have, when you went for your Christmas tea, was there a lot of you there? Or?
Oh, no, just our family, Mum and Dad and my sister and I. And we went there. Now, the other cousin from Auntie Ethel, the youngest one of our family, they would be there at lunchtime, I think, because she would do more like a daughter would, my cousin's mum, Auntie Ethel. She would do more for her, probably during the week, helping as time went on, helping with the washing, things like that.
Yeah, well, she was so the one that lived with them, wasn't she?
I think
she,
they
yeah.
went, they would go for lunch.
Mm.
But we didn't overlap.
Yeah, because in the will, Ethel was the one who got was the probate was given to her because she would be as close as a daughter because they didn't have their own child, you see.
Because the older ones would have left home doing in service or farm, whatever.
Yes. But Ethel always lived in Elmsley,
Ethel and Dad were the last ones to leave.
Yeah.
And they would spend a lot of time there because their father would be out at work. Mm. He was postman. A rully man, whatever that is, like a carter, I suppose.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I see, he was another man I would have liked to have met.
Who?
George.
Yes, your mum told me a lot about, because she would remember him.
She did, yes, she did.
You see, the reason there's such a close connection, our grandma, who died in 19, and Jane were sisters. Yeah.
But I mean, the mixture, I mean, when I went back through to Jack's granddad, William, where he learnt his trade, he was a wheelwright joiner and stuff as well. He married two Wright sisters. He lost one wife, and I'm pretty sure they were sisters. They were both called Wright, anyway.
Called what?
Wright. Galloway married an Anne and a. I can't remember the other one. Mary, probably. They're all called Mary or Anne. No imagination.
Yes, when you're doing family research, you think, goodness, what generation am I on?
I lose track. That's why I have to write it all down. That's why I was late. Cause I was making sure I had it written all down, you see.
It's just nice to get a little snapshot, and especially to see a photograph of who you know as Uncle Jack.
The only time he was ever referred to, it was always Uncle Jack. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Was there anything else? Can you remember anything else that your parents maybe shared with you about Uncle Jack? You said.
That sticks in my mind. I mean, Mum, people do, don't they? Repeat the same stories, and you listen dutifully as a child, don't you? Well, I did. I took notice, none of the others took any notice. But yeah, the same stories, you know, the bee story and not allowed to wear protection. I'm not quite sure she was happy about that.
It's a good job she wasn't allergic to them, wasn't it?
Well, I am. I'm allergic to bees. Yes, I found that out quite late in life. and the fact that he had evacuees as well. I mean, that's mentioned on 39 census, well, the 39, whatever they're calling it.
Oh, yes.
But when I tried to find them, and I looked, the names are very badly written, and they're actually on the transcription quite clearly written, but none of the badly written bits or the clearly written bits are findable.
I only remember one evacuee. I don't remember it, but I've remembered it since.
Mum did say there was an evacuee who stayed came back.
And she married John, but she was like a district nurse.
I remember Mum saying that too.
And that's the only one I'm aware of.
But there was two, but the... Mum found her granddad's evacuee. Because they'd obviously lost touch. But she went to Liverpool, bizarrely. Nothing my mother ever had done in her life before. And she went on local radio, just walked in. Slightly odd, I'm not quite sure why she did that. And she found somebody, but then lost touch again. And I found no records in her after she died. So I couldn't tell you their name offhand. But the ones that live with Jack and Ginny, they were, you know, clearly marked in the 39 register. But they said they were from Liverpool. Whether these girls were from Liverpool or I couldn't say. But they're not findable on the... I can't find them anywhere. I can't pin them down. Not that I would be happy with, you know.
So what was Ginny like? Can you recall?
Hardworking. Could be grumpy. Do you want a picture? I'll show you it afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
It would be taken the year or 2 years before she died.
Uh-huh.
But I believe she was quite a quiet person and a bit grumpy. Oh, don't want anything to do. That's the feeling I got.
Reminds me of my mother.
So in your lifetime in kind of like Helmsley, you must have seen quite a lot of change from kind of when you think back. Has there been much change?
Well, yes, you see, we're spending my working life in Scarborough. I've missed like a generation. or more. So if people say to me now, so-and-so, so-and-so, no, I don't remember them. Who was their mother or their father? But now, well, who are their grandparents? Because we're getting older all the time. Oh, yes, I know them.
Yeah, because you actually lived in Scarborough. You didn't just travel, did you? You actually lived
there, but came home most weekends.
Christine's still a Methodist. I'm slightly lapsed. Christine plays the organ, don't you?
Yes, played for your wedding, didn't
she? She did. She played for our wedding.
Oh, I love
her. I was delighted, really. I don't think I ever really said that as much as I should have done, but I was very pleased.
Oh, how did it?
Yeah.
But the elderly lady who lived next door to me, the Willie Worthy one, she was called Alice, and she was sort of the longest living of the council houses where we moved to after, 48, I think. So it was so interesting listening to her. Wish I'd had a tape recorder at the time. But everybody has sort of different memories. Some can go back further and some not so far. But, yes, there's still, when I think about Helmsley, there's still quite a lot of people who I've known all my life, and when I talk to them at some length, they have different memories. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That's often the way, isn't it? It is. I interviewed Ken Claridge.
Oh, right, yes.
I used to love it in that shop.
So he told me some great stories.
Oh, he would.
Stories too, which was lovely. But I think there's so much... There's been so much change, hasn't there? And when we think back to, like, our sweet shop is one of the great talking points on our side. When we get people intergenerationally speaking about, you know, when I grew up, what my sweet shop was like and what they'd get. And it's lovely when you hear them kind of having that correspondence.
Yes, it is.
We've moved away a little bit from that.
Talking
they,
packaged.
They don't wear sweets. Remember those pointy packets where you could get 2 ounces of something?
Did you have a favourite?
I don't think we had that many sweets. It was such a treat. I mean, our generation grew up without a lot of sugar.
And now there's probably as well, really.
Too much sugar about, yes.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I was a telly and sweets generation, me. Definitely.
The what?
TV. That's, you know, grew up with a telly and sweets, yeah.
We didn't have a TV till I was about 14, I think.
Yeah, and I watch less of it all the time.
You're not watching it till you've done your homework.
No, well, no, that was true.
But,
I always liked sherbet lemons.
Yes, we used to play out a lot. The children of today don't play out. And now if you see a little child going down the street, think, who's he with? Where's his parents? So you're not used to seeing them.
Can you remember many of the games? Did you ever do like tin alleys or?
No, don't remember.
Tiggy,
marbles,
skipping.
Oh, yeah.
A load of us in a big long skipping room.
Oh, yeah.
No, it wasn't my fault. I didn't step on it.
That's the games the girls played, wasn't it? Boys had a different games. Where you put your head against the wall or whatever and hid your eyes and people had to creep up and then if you turned around they had to stand still, that one, whatever they called it. Yeah, you used to do that a lot.
Oh, that was, what time is it, Mr. Wolf?
That's the one.
But the front person was walking slow. What time is it, Mr. Wolf? The crowd would shout, you'd say 12 o'clock, turn round and you had to catch one of them before they ran away. I mean, do they play these games anymore?
I think I'm a transitional generation.
I remember. I remember that one.
Probably not past a certain age, maybe. I think maybe people played those games longer in childhood, whereas it would be quite young children probably now.
I think there's been such a big shift as well, hasn't there? Like, some games remain, but we have moved. Now there is a lot more
mobile phones.
Electronic and...
Oh, goodness me, yes.
Sadly.
Because I remember black and white telly.
His father used to bash it to make it work.
Lovely. You had to get up to change the channel when it was just 2 channels.
Yeah, it worked as well. Every time I hit it, it worked. Magic hands.
Oh. you remember when you first got your telly then, if you were 14? Was it like a big occasion?
Well, I think in the days when we got them, you rented a television. Mm. There was electricians, I think, on Bondgate. Oh, can we afford that one? It's half a crown more than this one, or something like that. But no, I can't really remember the exact time. We had a radio, wireless, they called it, and listened to children's programmes.
Mm.
But
Children's Hour. My nan always put that on when I used to stop with her. I never listened to it at home. Never listened to the radio at home. I had the tranny under the pillow that my sister gave me.
It was probably around about tea time.
It was sort of like...
And you wouldn't have it on during a meal time.
Oh, God, no. But it was like ginger nuts from your mum's shop.
Oh, yes.
Ginger biscuits, a cup of tea, middle of the afternoon, and Children's Hour. And they would be having their naps, you see, my grandparents. And I was expected to listen quietly and not make a noise.
Love it.
It's enough to keep you quiet. But it's a happy memory. I didn't resent it. But I mean, I would never have listened to that at home. But radio was a big part of my childhood, to be fair. And, you know, even though I was of the TV generation, I think radio was a part of my childhood, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, even now I like an audio book, yeah.
Oh, dear, well, I don't. I like a book in my hand.
Oh, yeah, but I'm both. I can read the book and then have it audio as well. I quite like that, yeah.
Did you have any visiting butchers or a fishman or anything? Milkman?
There was always a market in Helmsley, still a market on Friday.
Mm.
There were two butchers, and depending on which side of town you lived, it was to which butcher
which
you
went
to. Yes.
Was you not allowed to cross?
No,
crossover.
No.
Well,
no.
You'd have. Well, they would, like, knowing you were coming in and you always ordered chops, they would probably serve you chops or something.
Mm.
Whereas if you were. And of course, through the war, you have to register with the butcher, didn't you?
I guess so,
yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't have. Well, I learned that from the army, but yeah, you had to register with the butcher, otherwise you couldn't use your coupons, your. What was it? Ration book.
Yes, I've still got some ration books.
Okay.
Don't use them. No, there wasn't a fish shop ever. Well, there was a fish and chip shop, but at Wet Fish, that was always on market day.
Ah, yes.
But every Tuesday, the fish van would come round, ring his bell, and, you know, we'd have 1 and 6 pence worth of haddock. And if it was 1 and 8 pence, oh, it's too much.
Could have known your market.
Yeah. There was also a rag and bone man used to come round. I think he lived at Hareham. And I suppose he shouted rag and bone, I don't know, but... And Mr Coverdale was an ice cream man with a motorbike and he had the box at his side, so I don't know how long he kept refrigerating, if at all.
Mm.
That must have been a treat to get an ice cream,
oh,
was it?
Yes, yes. Can we have one today? No, no. Perhaps once a week. But there's always been a good mix of shops. Now, of course, we're heading to the gift shops for the visitors.
But don't you think Helmsley's always been... It's a bit like Percy's in the Lakes. Wordsworth came to Helmsley. It's always been a tourist trap.
Yes, and it was always a halfway stopping place for coaches if they were coming down from Middlesbrough and going out to Scarborough on the coast.
Packed all outside out. Driving down mad. Look at them. It shed no time for the coaches.
Yeah. Oh, you can remember saying it.
Oh, she had no time. No time for them at all. People from that
still
area.
Oh, the visitors have arrived. Get back. The locals go out at about 9 to do their shopping or earlier. Yeah. Get back home.
Get back home. Well, you see, nowadays, I would say Helmsley attracted a person with more money in the pocket. But in them, when I was a young kid, there were coach trips and people from Middlesbrough and places like that. They maybe weren't as well off, but they wanted to come to the countryside. So I think because Helmsley markets itself as quite high-end, really, with the types of gift shops and stuff, don't
well,
they?
Well, I mean, there's plenty of cafes, but there always was the odd cafe for people who stopped.
Yeah.
Do
you have a milkman? Remember a milkman?
Yes, yes. When you had those cardboard tops, you won't remember them anyway. Cardboard top, because the tops of the bottles were wider. A cardboard top, and you punched the hole. And we used to save those to put two together and make a pom-pom.
Oh, yes, making pom-poms. Yeah, my nan taught me how to do that.
So they would just be on the top of the milk
bowl? Yes, they obviously... It wasn't quite as wide as that. They obviously, when they were processing, they just popped it in and it stayed in. Mm. And then came the, at one point, the aluminium tops, and of course, the blue tits would peck those.
Drive me nan crackers. Get the cream.
I tell you, in my childhood, there was a lemonade man came round.
Would that be from Moulton then, turning light?
Possibly. And they would sell things like, I don't know, dandelion and burdock or whatever.
Hounslow used to have its own lemonade factory, though. It's there on the old maps, yeah. Bottle their own stuff.
With the marble in the top.
Probably, yes. My mother was a big marble.
I have one or two of those. Well, one's got Hounslow on it, but the other two have Kirby Moore side.
My mother had a ginger beer bottle that had Hounslow on it. A Castle something? I don't know, but it was a ginger beer stone.
Yeah.
And I've still got that. Yeah.
There's on the way up, I noticed some in a window, and I thought, oh yes, I've got a couple of those with Hounslow on. I don't know whether yours are Hounslow or whatever they are.
There's quite a few within the shop, I think, as well. So there's different ones within the shop too.
People still digging them up, aren't they? It's a big prize, a cod bottle.
I mean, I don't know where these came from. I've just known them all my life. Mm. But when Dad was, 12, 13, 14, he was an errand boy for one of the shops. And they sold lemonade, so perhaps that's where they've come from.
Yeah. But a lot of places, it was a local thing. Things were kept locally. I mean, you only have to see some of the early directories where you've got farmer and bootmaker, some random combination. Like you were talking about groom and draper, which is a really weird combination. Doesn't go together at all, does it? But... that's what small. That's what communities did. They kept the jobs within the communities. Mm. But, you know, nowadays, it's totally different.
So your lemonade man, did he come down like every Tuesday? Was it like
It would be once a week, I think. But there were glass bottles with all other sorts of tops. Cherryade, limeade.
Funny, isn't
it? I don't think we got something every week because it was a treat.
Yeah, it was expensive. With people, you know, nowadays people drink lemonade as Coke
all night long,
constantly. Disgusting, but yeah, it would be very much so. Only ate fish and chips or corn or whatever with scraps when I was at Hounslow because it was on my holidays, and I was a saver.
That was true. Yes.
I never had them at home. My mother wouldn't have bought me them.
What was the link? Because there's a wheelwright link as well, isn't there?
The wheelwright. Well,
Jack was a wheelwright,
and his granddad gave him that trade because his actual dad, who beggared off to America, he they talked of him being a plumber. That was on one census, or on the marriage certificate. One of them, yes, but he didn't hang about long enough to be any use to training him up, so he would learn it from his grandparents.
I suppose Uncle Alf, who was the eldest boy in the family, he worked on the estate, and I don't know if he was a wheelwright as well, but he would work alongside Uncle Jack.
I didn't bring the right census stuff with me, but I could check that for you, but yeah. So, I'd say so many generations. I have to call them by the first name. It just get complicated saying, well, Richard and Robert. I have to do that because I can't, if I can only work out how many greats there are, it's just not too much.
Well, in those days, when somebody had a child, it was named after an auntie or an uncle.
Very much so, yeah. So, looking for the inheritance.
But I was just asking the question because sometimes we do kind of carry on in our... father's grandparents' footsteps, don't we? I did wonder whether that...
Yeah, no, it was his granddad that was...
I wonder if that's why Dad went into wood.
Well, because he would live with...
Well, he didn't work at the estate with Uncle Jack. No. He worked at the other woodyard in Hounslow at the time.
I remember him being there.
Mm.
Yeah.
So was that the Helmsley estate?
Yes, the Duncan Park estate, as it was called, yes.
Yeah, because my treasure possessions that Christine's dad, Tommy, made for me were, he made me a coffee table and he turned me a fruit bowl. And the coffee table, not a nail or a screw to it, it's all pegged with wood.
Was it an octagonal one?
It's rectangle. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, rectangle. Well, not octagonal.
No. It's just straight. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yes, there's all sorts of things that Dad made have turned up in people's houses.
Yeah.
So, where did you get that? Your Dad made it.
Yeah. It was his gift. It was his wedding gift to us. Yeah.
I mean, he was a self-taught.
He was good, though, carver, wasn't he? He was a beautiful. I mean, the table.
Because
was
he spent when he moved from. Well, it was Benjamin Frank, the woodyard. They finished, and then he went to work at Ampleforth, at Johnny Wall's. Well, that's where the mouse man would come across
when
the trees come in.
Yeah.
And he would say to Dad, oh, I'll have this 2 inches, or this big long tree, you see. Mm. So
he's
picked up a lot from...
Thompson's, and Thompson was big pal with your Dad, right?
Well,
the son.
No, it was Ian Cartwright.
Yeah, but he used to... yeah, mouse man. We used to go there a lot when we were kids, see the mouse man. Yeah.
Is there anything left from? Did anything get left in the house from your Uncle Jack? You know, wheelwright wise.
I don't know. Perhaps Auntie Ethel and Dad.
They would get that.
We've got the grandfather clock.
Ah, that lovely clock.
I know.
Yeah.
Now, when it needed attention, when I took the hood off. Somewhere inside, 1958 has been written, and that was when Aunt Ginny died.
Ah.
So it would come to him then.
Ah, that's interesting.
But that's all that I remember that came from there.
Well, I've got something that belonged to Uncle Jack and Aunt Ginny. My nan gave it to me. She was given some, it's like a serving, but I mean, like, I suppose a big trifle dish, really. But I mean, what they served in it, fruit salad or something. It wasn't a vegetable salad thing. It's very ornate, very pretty, flowery, and some bowls. And that was Aunt Jenny, she said. And because I'd always listened carefully to the Aunt Jenny stories and Uncle Jack stories, she said she would not, well, it was a few years before she died, but she wanted to give me something while she was still alive to see me enjoy it, I think. And, so I have those. It's funny, isn't it, how things spread about.
Anybody
who wants my things will probably think, look at them, muck it up things. Yeah, they wouldn't be interested, would they?
No. I think it seemed to be a standing joke within the family that when an auntie died, they left Dad a clock, because he likes clocks. Mm. So I have got a few clocks. But I don't know the history of all of them except the long case clock. Shame.
It is, isn't it? People never think to leave notes, do they? No.
And when you're children, you do listen to conversations and they go out the window, but some things do stick.
They do.
It's only when you start doing your family history, I wish I'd asked so-and-so.
Yeah.
Everybody's the same.
Yeah, we always want to ask the questions.
Yes. It's always too late.
You see, when Doctor Who says, do you want to come for a ride with me? I'll be there like a flash. I say, as long as I can choose where we go.
Who?
Doctor Who, you know, time travel, sorry. It's a bit sad of me, I know, but... Big fan. But, yeah, I should like to time travel back and meet these people. That's what I'd like to do.
Do you have any memories of events in kind of growing up? With family, without family, you know, like we're looking at that coronation one, but
well,
you know, kind of.
Yeah, the coronation. I don't know whether these things happened on coronation day, but they had a parade in Helmsley at every street or every two streets, because our street in Ashdale Road was the old woman that lived in a shoe, and my father made the shoe because he made the wooden. This bit, and then the boot part was like felt. And you know, it was a rainy day, and we've got photos dotted about. Some of us are looking out of the windows in the shoe, in the shed bit, and others are standing along looking out of that. And I don't have a memory of it, but I've looked at these pictures and I thought, well, I was there, but there isn't the memory of being there in my mind.
It's funny that, isn't it?
I think sometimes memories are what people have told you and you think you've been there.
That's interesting.
But I only remember what I've seen on photographs, so I haven't really a proper memory of it. But that, as I say, I don't know whether it was on Coronation Day or...
Well, how
afterwards.
Old would you have been then, Christine?
4, 7.
Yeah.
No, 9. I don't know how old I am. 9.
Did you do anything... was Christmas quite a big part of your lives?
No, it was all family orientated. We were at home. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what...
Any traditions or anything?
No. There was a tradition of the Sunday school trip in Helmsley, and it was on the train to Scarborough. I think the whole of Helmsley must have gone.
Was that the Methodist Sunday school?
What it was called, but anybody could book and go. And we would tootle along on the train.
Certain factions and...
Walk down to the beach, spend the morning on the beach. We never had a picnic. We would take a picnic, but then we would go to a church hall. They would make a cup of tea, eat the picnic, and then come back, perhaps do the shops, or come back down on the beach.
Eat sand in your sandwiches.
And then come back home lovely and tired on the train.
My nan used to talk about the Sunday
school
trips.
Did she?
Yeah. Yes, because she had misshapen feet, you remember. My feet have gone that way as well. It must be a family thing. And she was always really embarrassed when she was in the paddling, so she stopped doing it. The kids used to point at them, she said. Poor lass. Yeah. My mother's was the same. Mine's gone like that as well. Arthritis.
So that's really...
Yeah.
Did you do much baking in your lifetime? Have you done much baking? Have you got any old recipe books that you've inherited or anything?
Just mum's recipes in her writing. But I suppose we're of the generation where we grew up watching our mums bake and learning how to do things. Because, you know, Yorkshire puddings and that sort of... Everything was always roast beef and Yorkshire puddings on Sunday. And they had set days for doing things throughout the week, you see. Monday, wash day. Yeah. Tuesday, ironing.
Mum always said that. Wednesday. Nan always said that. Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah. So
Friday was cleaning day.
Did you have your Yorkshire puddings first?
Oh, yes, always.
Always.
With gravy or just...
Yes, with gravy.
There was one rash occasion where syrup was provided, but that was pudding, so we had them at the start and the end, as I remember, at my house. Yeah. Well, that was a very...
Warmed up from Monday tea.
Yeah.
Because during the week, Mum would cook at tea time because Dad had been out of work all day. Tea had to be ready for 5 when he came in. Always was.
Yeah.
And did you both go to the local school then?
No. I never was at school in Helmsley. No, I never. No. York. I was in York. Yeah, when I was younger. Mm. Yeah.
Yes, I went to the Helmsley school just up the road. You see.
Yeah.
In those days, there were two schools in Helmsley: the Methodist school, the top of our street, and well, they called it the Low School, but it was Lady Feversham's school, and I think it was just beginning to be mixed. The Methodists went to the Methodist school and the Church of England went to the other school. And I think in 1984, that's when the new school was built. And
yes,
the other school was in our house.
School, yeah.
And our school is attached to the church, so it's the church rooms now.
They use it for
which
funeral
we let
and
out.
Stuff,
yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it quite small then? Was it quite small?
Difficult to say. I presume there was at least 20 in it. There was 1, 2, 3 classes. But occasionally, I think there was probably 2 classes in one room. Mm. I haven't much of a memory, really, of that.
Yeah, I can remember a classroom like that when I was at school.
I can remember where I sat on my first day in school. And we used to play. We used to have music and movement. We used to be on the wireless.
Yes, And
we used to be running around in our vest and pants doing all the actions that they told you to.
My mother said...
That was the exercise, because there was no playing field.
My mother said to me, I don't want to hear that you've taken your clothes off. But that's what you have to do, Mum, I said. Vest and pants. She said, not my daughter. She's very prudish. That's where I get it from. Honestly. Oh, no. She said, no. Clothes on.
Do you have to walk down the road to... For your lunch, or like
we did because we lived down the road from the school. But they generally, those who stayed to lunch, walked up to the scout hut, which is half a mile away, and that's what that's their lunch, because they would come down from Carlton, Revo, Pockley.
Did you have many harsh, can you remember any harsh winters, any sledging, any...
Yes, we seem to always be sledging, but can't have been. But yeah, there was some lovely sledging down Duncan Park.
Oh, yeah.
See, in those days, Duncan Park was a girls' school, and they would be on holiday over the winter, so you could sledge from top to bottom. They didn't grit it or anything.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't have to play to get through the gate, either.
No. But did you have any memories of, like, going sledging?
Where I live when I was that sort of, pre-teen. But it wasn't round Helmsley at all, no.
Where did you grow up? Different places?
They like to move about. I think Mum and Dad took the view that if you moved about, you bettered yourself. And the chance, because they had got on the property ladder quite early compared to a lot of people. Maybe that, my dad said to me once, he said, when they were still working in forestry, so that's where they were working, at Jack's funeral. It says Mansfield, Goldsboro. But that's where they were working, living. And so was my grandparents, down in the forestry area. And so they'd sort of moved from place to place. But when he'd gone to the bank and said he wanted a loan to buy a property, that he said they laughed at him. The manager, bank manager laughed at him. And he pointed to the secretary and said, I pay that girl more than you're getting. And, of course, that galvanised my mother no end, as you might imagine, knowing her character. She didn't take that lying down. So they just saved and worked and saved and worked and were on the property ladder. And so they moved. As they moved, they got something a bit better and something a bit better. And that's why we're always on the move. I'm like a gypsy, basically. That's why I've never moved in the last 40 years, I think. Since I got married, that was my place and I was staying there. So, yeah, York. But Helmsley was always the place I went on holiday.
Yeah.
And so, everybody, stop with me now.
All the relatives always came back to Helmsley.
Yes. That's why I was married there, because it was a happy place to me. Place. I mean, I still don't know how I got away with it, but the minister at the time said, well, if you have your bands read and you come near the bands, he said, that's good enough for me. So that seemed to work, because I wasn't a resident, you know.
Yeah.
I think he stretched it a bit, to be fair.
Who married you? Can you remember?
Oh, he was a Scots guy.
What year did you get married?
81.
Was it Douglas Hunt?
Yes.
Jim Douglas Hunt, yeah.
Yes, him. Yeah, yes. He stretched it for us.
Mm.
He gave us some kind of a weird talk as well. I think it was supposed to be like
marital
duties and stuff, but he didn't get into that. I was very relieved. He just had a chat about some of his, because he'd been a prison chaplain, I think, and he'd had some quite interesting experiences, so we just talked about that. I can't cope with this. My husband, he was like cringing in his chair thinking, oh God, what's he going to say?
So did you get married at the Methodist church then?
Ashdale Road, yeah. Yeah, but when I was a kid, because when I stopped with my nan, I used to go to Bright Hour with her. Wednesdays, Bright Hour.
Yes.
To the other chapel, you say, where?
That's right.
And that's where my grandparents were married at that. But, yes, because the Prims were... That's where the Prims were.
Yes, it's a primitive Methodist chapel and the Wesleyan Methodist chapel. There was two in those days. The Wesleyans were always posher than us.
So what was Uncle... Which one was Uncle?
Yes, primitive, yes. Those days, you see...
They put a penny in
The ladies didn't work, so they did things like this in their afternoons.
Yeah. No, I loved Bright Hour. It's even just the name. It was fantastic.
Was Jack quite tall, then, do you know? He seems quite tall there, doesn't he? Like he's, but I suppose as a child, you do everybody.
Well, that's another adult stood next to him, so it's hard to say, really, isn't it?
I think he was a lot taller than Aunt Ginny because she was a small person.
Little person, yeah. Mum said that.
Yeah.
Well, littler, yeah.
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 He just looks a great...
He seems quite solid looking, doesn't he?
Yes. I don't know whether it's because you were a child, but he seemed to have quite a booming voice.
Like John Otterburn. God, he used to terrify me when I was a kid.
John Otterburn?
Oh, he used to shout. Well, it always seemed like a
really?
Shout. Yeah. Well, to us kids, me and my brother used to cringe. Is he shouting? I'm not sure. I think he's just talking. And we never could make up our mind we were in trouble or not when we used to go up to Antifos.
One of these things that makes me, like, that I like about this project is, you know, we don't really know how they chose your Uncle Jack, you know, whether it was the shop owner said, oh, go speak to Jack, or whether, you know...
They could have gone to the Methodist church and asked, couldn't they?
Maybe Juanita Wright actually went to the Methodist church and Jack went, oh, I'll speak to you, I'll do...
Well,
I'll
he would... It would if he was that garrulous nature, I don't really know, but, I mean, some people are known for their stories, aren't they?
Yes.
And wanting to share. Not everybody does. Mm. Yeah. And they would think, I mean, foreigners from Leeds Loinenders, my mother always used to call them. No time for Leeds Loinenders, she said, round here. So that was, you know, it was like they were like a foreign country, Leeds, even when my mother was young.
I mean, they tried to choose people that, as they were native and that had a dialect.
Mm.
So it's, it's interesting that they chose those people. And obviously, because they wrote on the phonetic alphabet, we can take, I guess, out the pronunciation of some of those words.
Mm.
But yeah, I think it's quite fun that he answered the human body and the nature ones. There's some quite fun ones on there as well. I wonder what he made to those questions of
It would probably be
splinters and
human body. Yeah. Where are you going with this? That's what was actually my first reaction when you said, really? Weird. Yeah.
And yeah, the other men in there and Helms, they did the other questions. So George Herbert Sigsworth, W.O. Beecroft, William Worthy, George Hugo, Ernest Williams made some part with it. And obviously, he was wrote down as John William. Beecroft.
Well, he always was on the census, he was always John William or W.J. But
I think a lot of people who were called John, at some point they were called Jack.
Yeah, especially in their working life. Yes. That would be But I mean, the alliteration of Jack and Ginny probably were held a thing that was how it sounded, sort of like they were a couple, which they were. So, yeah. I quite like the Ginny for Jane. I think that's pretty. I always thought it was pretty. Yeah.
Did you know that? Imagine it was one of those, if you were in trouble, the full name possibly came out.
I wouldn't imagine so, yeah.
Do you have any memories of Bonfire Night, or seeing as we're at this time of year? Did you do anything for Bonfire Nights when you grew up?
No, I don't think that there was a general bonfire. We had a few fireworks in the garden and that was it.
Quite expensive, relatively. I mean, sweets were expensive, so fireworks weren't presumed.
It wasn't such a big thing in those days.
No.
It's interesting because you don't really see many guys on bonfires anymore.
He's gone out of style, this poor guy.
The children used to... I don't know whether I have a proper memory of them with their guy sitting penny for the guy, or whether I've seen it too much on the TV.
It's possible, isn't it? I don't ever remember having a guy, but we certainly had...
No, we didn't.
People like a fire, though, don't they? But, I mean, fires at the back end of the year are very important. Same as we've got Diwali now. I mean, that's a festival of lights and burning and lighting up the darkness. It's not very different to any other, you know, religion, really. We all have a festival of lights somewhere in the dark times of the year, which makes me quite happy to say that. We're all the same, then we are different. But, I mean, that's just an excuse to... have a go at the Catholics, really, wasn't it? Shoving guy on. Yes, treasoner. Treason. Oh, shocking.
What about Easter? Did you dye any of your eggs? Did you do any egg rolling?
Yes, we did that on Easter Monday. I think my mother perhaps boiled them on the Saturday. After we'd put wax things and crayoned them and then we rolled them on the Monday, and that's all that we did.
Did you dye them?
Yes, I think cochineal, you know, they were usually red, deep red. Although an onion skin made them brown.
See, that's what my nan taught me.
Yes.
She was, I mean, I don't think Mum had time. She was always working. But again, when I was stopping with Nan in Helmsley, we always did that, and she would always help me boil the eggs and colour them different colours and stuff. Yeah.
Did your nan make you run any errands in Helmsley?
I always had to go to the shop, but then it was only just like four steps away, wasn't it?
Did she ever send you for anything particular?
No, she meant the groceries, really. Make sure George gives you half a penny off. That was what she used to say.
Half a penny off?
Yeah. Oh. Well, he used to knock half a penny off. Oh, you can have that. Because he would write on all the, before he got his thing, he would write on in whatever pen. And, you can have it for 10 pence, not 10 and a half or whatever. And she was always very pleased to get a discount, you know. But he was a relative, so it's slightly different. Well, by marriage.
We used to do shopping, my sister and I, one for Auntie Elizabeth, Auntie Annie, but we called her Elizabeth because of your gran. And Carol used to go and shop for Mrs. Sharp Saturday mornings. And one day Carol had gone rushing home. Mum, Mrs. Sharp wants a tin of rice pudding. Well, can you get it in a tin? Because she'd always been used to Mum putting it in the bottom of the oven with rice. So that was something she learned.
Yes, that's interesting, isn't it? How we just assume things, yeah. Can you get it in a tin? That's really fun.
Yeah.
But it's like some people now, you know, younger generations now don't necessarily know what it was like to stand for a queue for the telephone box and...
Smell.
And put your pennies in the top or do your reverse call.
Press the buttons,
Yes.
Yeah. I can remember standing by my mother when she was using the telephone. You could press the button, she said. Yeah, I got to press the buttons.
Yes, we didn't have a telephone in the early days. I don't know when we did get one. But I don't think we must have made many telephone calls.
No. We used to be able to, like, dial the weather and dial Santa and things, didn't you, as well?
I think you probably still can, but it's mainly the internet these days, Santa, isn't it?
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I mean, are there any telephone boxes that can still be used, or are they all...?
I think, depending on the local community, I think you could buy them up and keep... Some people use them as lending libraries and stuff, but actually having a phone in, I think that sort of went by the board. But
did you take all the phones out?
Yeah, shame, really.
They're all out.
Right.
It did depend on local people pushing for it, I think, didn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
A lot of them are defibrillators in them.
Yes, that's quite a useful idea, isn't it? Everybody knows where it is then, don't they? Yeah.
But it's the same with kind of the purse boxes as well. Everybody's been talking about being interested recently in the purse boxes, haven't they? Because the purse boxes link, you know, different products with the
eras. Yeah, I've seen a VR one and a GR one. Whether they'll bother putting his crest on them, I don't know. I suppose he'd want that.
Yes, why are they still GR? Why?
Because they couldn't be bothered to take them away and people didn't want them taken away, probably.
No, well, it's nice to keep
them going. I think so. Yeah.
But even the purse man, you know, the joy of receiving letters and, you know, my brother was in the army, so we'd get the blue letters.
Oh, yes. Yeah, RAF. My brothers were in the RAF. So, blue letters.
So you'd wait for your blue letter to come to come through the post. Uh-huh.
For years, it was the same postman, and he knew everybody, and he would say, I don't think this is for you, Tommy. Have you steamed it open?
Did you ever do that? Was you ever naughty and steamed a letter?
No.
I think I tried it once. I can't even remember why. I think it was because I wanted to see if it worked, and I managed to burn myself, so that was the end of that sort of situation. But I don't think I had nefarious purposes. I just wanted to see if it actually worked. I think that's why I did it. You hear about it, but never seen it done.
So you've wrote some notes down here. Did you want to share?
All the family history. Well, I tried to be as... I mean, a lot of these people probably... Christine won't have heard of it. I kept mentioning the Galloways. But at Cowsby, I think I've tracked the Galloways back to. Because, I mean, you think of it as of a Scottish name, don't you? But, yes, so William was born in 1859.
So was that granddad?
Yeah. Jack. And his dad was a groom. But he had 10 brothers and sisters. I bet he was glad to leave home. And Hannah, this is Jack's parents we're talking about.
Jack's parents, right, yeah.
Hannah, she was... lived all her life in Bridge Street, as far as I could work out. But William and Anne were parents, and William was a joiner at the time she was born. So they got married in 79, and she was 17 then. Oh, she wasn't 17, she was damn close. Because she was 18 a year later when the census was taken, which is April. And then she's still in her parents' house in Bridge Street, and she's got Jack, 1 year old Jack, born in 1880. So I suppose it's a bit close. I think there was a crossover, as there often was. So Jack's, she's 18 and he's one. Now, later, William, her husband, because he wasn't living with her and her grandparents, her husband William was living with Job Galloway. Now, Job was Hannah's brother, and he'd moved his family to Stockton-on-Tees, and he was stopping with them, and he was a plumber. And he says Huswey, well, that's Coxwell Huswey, it would be that church.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that confirmed that for me, that he was, and he's not seen again, that I can confirm it's him on a census. Mm-hmm. So on the 91 and subsequent, well,
so
if he died, yes, well, Job was her brother, and I say her husband, and he's shown as married, he's living with them for some bizarre reason, but a lot of Job's kids was living with granddad, so I think they swapped. Bizarre. But he was, there wasn't a sign of him anywhere, I had no idea where he went, and I just assumed he died. And then Jack, by 1891... he's listed as head of household, and he's what? 21, I think.
11?
No. No, yes, you're right, he's 11, it's the subsequent one where he's head of household. So 1891, he's still living with his grandparents, Wheelwright, like his granddad. And with him is his mum, who's 28 then, sister Annie and sister Sarah. Now, I can find her births. So she would be what? Born in 1890, Sarah. So William, if he was the dad, was still wallying about somewhere to 1890. But again, he doesn't seem to turn up on any... he certainly didn't turn up on 1891 census. And in 1901, William's then head of household. And he's the wheelwright. And Hannah... it's my Tom Moles, and his sister's father-in-law. Well, father-in-law doesn't mean the same as what we, as now. Father, in the eyes of the law. So he was his stepdad, technically. That's how we would describe it. But father-in-law's used interchangeably in them days.
Yeah, they did that with, like, brother-in-law as well, and it was step, yeah.
Yes. Well, having said that, his sister, who was the youngest one in the census previously, Sarah is still there, 11. And Fred, obviously their child, Tom and Hannah's, is listed as his stepbrother, and he's only 4 months old. Well, they got married in 1894, so I don't know quite, but these are the other children. These are the Moles' children. Now, if them, because, yeah, I'll come to that in a minute. So you've got Fred, who's there, Mary Hannah, William Galloway Moles, think of that what you like. Elizabeth Jane, Ath and Roy, but he wasn't born in Helmsley. Now, where am I? I'll just let me find the right one. Here we go. So in the Burial Register, which is on Find My Past, is Helmsley Burial Register, and again, they're all listed as primary, because the Burial Register was for anybody. I mean, it could have had a Muslim person on it. It wasn't denominational. Everybody was listed on the Burial Register. But they always wrote, buried under the Burial Act of 1880, which means you're a Methodist. So, Mary Hannah, Thomas Galloway, Elizabeth Jane Moles, all died within weeks of one another. 1900, 1901 and 1901. Look how close they were died. Look. December, January, January. Right? And this is what the famous Vicar Grey, who I mentioned to you on the phone, had written underneath. The proper name of these children is Peacock. There being no proof of the death of Peacock, the true husband of Hannah Galloway. And see the marriage register in 1879. Very cruel, I felt. Because these three dead children. And that was his comment. Not that I was sad, three dead children, but no. He'd written that afterwards, obviously. The curate did the actual burying, not him. He only did weddings. So, yes. So, if, and when you go further on, sorry, when you go further on, and I don't know where they all are. Okay. To the right census, Carolyn. I found the right census, three. It's okay, it's here somewhere. So many bits of paper, it's terrifying. And this is scribbling, scribbling, scribbling. But the, infuriating. But the, yeah, here we go. That's it. So the 21 census, they'd moved. I think they probably got fed up with the gossip. No, that's not the right one. Oh, look, there's Ethel. There's Auntie Dolly. There's Christine's dad in the 21. Anyway, no, that's not the right census. No, in the 21 census or even the 1911 census, it actually asks you how many years you've been married and how many children you've had and how many are still alive and how many have died. And it's in there somewhere. The answer was they'd been married 16 years, which is dead on compared because they were married in York, Tom Moles and Hannah. And said, how many children? Six. How many still living? None. So in the 16 years they'd been married, every single one of their children died. Mm-hmm. Every single one. And the one, when they'd moved to Roosbeck, wherever, Gisborough, the last child, Roy, died. And he's buried there. And it's from Marin Elmsley. And so if she was married bigamously, she was punished for it. Mm-hmm. Wasn't she? Horrid. Yeah, all those kids that she obviously wanted. Mm. And they all died. So Jack and the two sisters would have been her only children that lived. And I'm not totally sure where one of the girls is, because I can't find her on the census. She could have died as well. But obviously Jack lived to a good age. And he was obviously caring for at least one of his sisters. But I mean, the elder one would have been maybe even in service or married by then. But yeah, so she was punished for it.
How old was Jack when he died?
He
75 or 6.
Yeah, yeah. See, I mean, I don't look at 75 being all that old now, but he looks like an old person, doesn't he? He looks older there, and that's 5 years, well, 3 years after your gentleman talked to him.
Yeah, so he retired.
It'd be quite heavy work, though, wouldn't it?
55,
he died, didn't he?
55.
Yeah, something.
And he retired the year before, so he didn't have much of a retirement.
16 years is average, apparently, after retirement. So make of it what you like. Don't waste any time. You'll drop dead very quickly. I think my dad had 2 years. Yeah. So.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to share with me? Any other kind of memories of...
If I track down William, who begged off to America, I'll let you know.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that it says on the note...
Yeah. Well, it was... America could mean Canada. And I have found several peacocks, some of which turned up in Australia as well, but on the outgoing passenger list... But there's no information. I mean, there's one or two that says Yorkshire, but there's no confirming born in Cotswold or even Plummer. There's nothing to confirm that any of them were Jack's dad. Jack.
Yeah.
I think it'd be hard to pin that down. The only time that I found ways to pin them down is when you find their grave in America, and sometimes they'll write on the grave, native of Daddy Down, Yorkshire, England, and sometimes you can find them that way. But... Yeah, I'd, I've often thought what he thought of it actually. You know, what would he have made of that? You know, in fact, he didn't sort of expand on what his dad went to America, but he didn't say, and my mother remarried. But you talked about the apples earlier, didn't you? You talked about the apples.
Yes, I have a memory of, obviously they had an orchard somewhere, I can't remember everything, but I have a memory of me being round at their house and Dad's there, and they're packing apples into a box. Now, I don't know what they're packing them with, whether it's straw or they're wrapping them in newspaper. And you see, the word America is in my head, that they were sending these apples out there. Well, it seems a funny thing to do, you know, send a box of apples out to America.
Seed apples, you see, because...
But I can't confirm or whatever.
It's a strange memory, that, isn't it? But it's interesting because I know in America... Some of their folk stories, I don't think they're real, but there's a character in American folklore called Johnny Appleseed. And he was supposedly had this massive bag of apples, red apples, of course, because it's America, and he walked far and wide spreading these apple cores and seeds around the country, therefore creating orchards. So it is quite... I don't think that's real. I think that's just a myth. But they haven't got much else, really, in Americans, apart from Native American history in their own lives. So they created these things. But he was, you know, supposed to be like a folk hero, you know, creating bounty wherever he went. So I can see why apple seeds would be important to be sent there. You know, that would be an important thing. Because even if they were rotten,
probably
when we got...
more digging needed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Did you bring some more fur tales, did you say, as well?
No, that's all I've got. These are your letters, yes.
Yeah, Christine's more organised than me, obviously.
But,
it's fine, I brought coffees. I wondered if you'd mind if I asked you a few dialect questions.
Mm.
Would you like to have a little break, or shall I just crack on with it?
No, carry on. I'm going to ask us to pronounce things, perhaps.
We're going to follow a little snippet into... yeah. So I'll get an answer from both of you, but what do you call this creature?
Hedgehog.
Same.
Haven't another word for him.
What about this one?
Parrot.
Daddy long legs?
Yes, daddy long legs. Oh, that's something.
I don't know what that is.
Seawig, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah, horrid. Horrid things. Yeah. It may creep. I don't know quite why.
What about this garden weed? It's the one that's...
Oh, it's that sticky one. I don't know its name.
Well, I think my mother would have avoided this word, but I've been told subsequently, not from my parents, sticky willy, which is quite gross. My mother would never have said that. She would have been horrified to have said that, but yes.
Mm. Yes, I'm forever pulling it out.
It gets everywhere, doesn't it? But I don't ever remember her calling it that. Sticky weed, probably.
Mm.
There's a few different names, like cleavers, sweethearts, sticky bobs. Sticky willow has come up a few times.
Stick willy, not willow. No, but sweethearts would be in the seed.
No, sweethearts were...
Those little... Oh, yes, you're right.
Yeah,
sweethearts would
round
be the...
things with, like, spikes.
Oh, yeah.
And you would throw that at somebody and that's stuck on you.
Stick to the cat.
That's what
I always got the job pulling them off.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
This is a drop-off.
Well, I can say, because I remember my granddad used to say it.
After the rain, you might get a drop-off. Or in the morning, if it's been wet.
Don't know.
Well, my granddad would have said water.
Another word. Dew, perhaps?
Yeah. Dew.
A bag of...
goodies.
Yeah, goodies.
Some people don't know what goodies are these days.
I used to know a lad from Barnsley, he always called them spice.
Yeah.
Mm.
What about this bread item? It's not the best.
Oh, that's a contentious word, isn't it? What do you call it?
Sticky bun? I've no idea. Is it a bread bun?
It's a plain bread, isn't it? Bread bun. Yeah. Yeah.
What about this This one.
Currant bun.
It's a scone. Not a scone. My mother would have probably tried to say scone.
Scones aren't that shape.
Well, I think that's what it's meant to be, though, isn't it?
Yes. What's the spoon stuck in then?
Clotted cream. Cream.
Oh, yum.
Oh, we all
is that
want
what we're having for tea?
Nice.
And how many are there in the picture? There's not one, there's not two.
Three.
If there was another one?
Four, yeah, but I mean...
Where's the other one? Has it been
if
eaten?
If there was one.
Eaten.
Eaten. Fower. Fower. Yes, that's Fower. How my grand would have said it. Fower.
What do you call these ones?
Oh, disgusting.
What is it? Oh, they're spring onions.
Yeah, spring onions.
Oh, scallions.
We never had them in our house.
Was there a difference between scallions and spring
I've
onions?
I've no idea. I don't know. You never hear the word scallion now.
Posh restaurants use it sometimes.
Oh, they're bringing it back.
Croggy.
Oh.
Well, they're not on a bike.
Piggyback.
Piggyback.
Would you still say croggy?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Croggy's on the bike.
Well, yeah, I would agree with you, but yeah. Sometimes I've
sitting
seen
on
it.
The crossbar.
I've used it for both. Oh, yes.
Seesaw.
Yeah, seesaw.
So these, I've got two questions. He asked me to fix it, and we've got a blank space, and I want to know what you'd put in it. No way, do it yourself. So can you complete that sentence?
Yes, me to fix what?
Well, you can choose.
And I can't. No way, do it yourself.
Oh, yeah. No, I always fix it myself because my husband was useless, stuff like that.
Would you use any of these? He asked me to fix it I went, no way, do it yourself.
If I was telling somebody else, maybe. But
said...
That seems like more of a southern way. I've seen on the Essex programme, not that I watched Essex programme, but I've seen him using it that way.
Yes, this is me. I said.
Oh,
there's too much of that use of that like word on television.
Yeah, it's very.
When they're interviewing people, I thought, why are they interviewing these people? You can't tell a word they're saying.
It's like what's it like? We say pronunciation.
I came through.
But now we've got Essex pronunciation all over everywhere, haven't we?
The food was something tasty.
Very tasty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right, I've got a couple more, but they're a bit more quicker. What do you call a room in a house for storing food?
Pantry.
Yeah.
If you haven't...
don't have the pantry these
Nobody
days.
Nobody has a pantry these
Fridge.
Days.
No. Fridge. Cupboard.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you haven't eaten any food for a long time, you're bound to feel...
Hungry.
Well, I know what my grandmother would have said. Starved.
My stomach thinks my throat's cut.
She's a completely different... Nowadays... It's, it's in them days, it was also used for cold. If you were cold, you were starved.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard my nan say that. Yeah.
What words do you use for something to eat? So, breakfast. Do you have anything in between breakfast?
No.
Then what's your middle meal?
Breakfast, dinner or lunch. I learnt the word lunch when I started work.
But lunch, don't you remember your dad used to come for lunch, but he meant 11s. Do you remember?
No.
Yes, because the first time I had ever heard lunch used like that was when Uncle Tommy, your dad, came to me nan's. Uncle Tommy's coming for lunch, and I went, it's 11 o'clock. Ooh. And he would have oven bottom cake.
Oh. Sad cake, is that?
Sad cake. Oh, it was horrible. I wouldn't touch it. And he said, only your nan makes sad cake anymore, he used to say.
And sad cake, is it like a muffin?
It's like rock. She was no baker.
It's what was left over from baking with pastry.
Ah, but you see, this was a sponge, according to her.
Oh, no.
It was a rock-hard sponge and she always overcooked it.
It was like... A thick piece of pastry and you'd split it.
Yeah.
It was lovely. Came out of
oil
and butter and treacle on.
Yeah. But I think
my
that
dad
was...
lived on it.
Yeah, he would eat that, but he would also have this oven bottom cake, which was my nan's sponge, which she would offer me a slice on a regular basis. And I said, no, thank you.
That.
It was horrid.
You see, when we were still at home...
You could have killed
people. It was breakfast, dinner, tea.
Yes.
And supper. And then it wasn't until things changed... You get to work, or you have your lunch break
yes.
now.
Yes, it's used more when I was at work.
I call
way.
It lunch if I'm just having a sandwich and I cook at night, tea time.
Yeah.
But I don't have supper like we used to have supper.
No.
What was what used to be?
Biscuit and a cup of tea for mum and dad. I don't know whether we had supper. We'd be in bed by then.
Yeah. Well, Lowance as well. I've heard him call it that as well.
Lowance. That's your 10 o'clock, isn't it?
Lowance. Lowance. Yeah, that's how he used to say it. Yeah.
What do you call a coffee you might get from a cafe with lots of milk in it?
Disgusting. Don't drink
I call them coffees. I know they call them fancy whatever name. Silly names.
Stupid. I refuse to go into shops
like
that.
I like cappuccinos.
I think that's what you mean, isn't it?
What's the dairy product that you spread on toast and sandwiches?
Vegan block.
Butter.
Very imaginative name, I have these days. Sorry, Carol. Christine.
Yeah, butter. How would you say that word?
Oh.
Butter.
Yeah.
I hate it when people say butter.
It's a bit ugly.
The silent T is creeping in everywhere. Yeah. No, it's just butter.
Yeah.
What word or phrase would you use to indicate a temporary break in a game when points cannot be scored?
Kings. Kings, you can't
yes,
beat me.
Yes, God.
So you'd cross your fingers.
Yes.
Then.
Oh, yes.
I don't know where the word kings came from.
We used to get that. I can remember it used when we were playing drafts because I never learned chess. But, yeah, kings. Yeah, in other words, you had a bit, needed a bit more time to think about your next move, probably.
Yes, my sister just used to let the card table down.
I like it.
If you fall over in the playground, your knee might be...
grazed.
Ooh. Skinned.
Skinned.
Oh, yeah. My knees were raw.
I suppose we're going to work at the bank. A lot of this has been knocked out of me.
Posh Christine, is it?
If you get covered in dirt at the playground, when you get home, you might need to get in the...
Bath. Nobody had a shower, did they?
No.
It's one of them blue things you stuffed on the taps if you were lucky.
No, you'd be sit a bit on the draining board and mum would wash your knees.
Perhaps. No. In trouble would be the word. If I came home mucky, my mother would be cross.
When children are very excited, you might say they're full of...
beans.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what else we would say.
At the end of a long and tiring day, you'd say you were absolutely...
jiggered.
Yes, slightly cleaner.
Always jiggered.
Well, just what you say.
No, well, yeah. I might say it now, but I wouldn't have said it when I was younger. My mother would have shouted at me. Yeah, jiggered would be a word I would use, certainly when I was younger, yeah.
Kerfurkled. Do you know that word?
That's a lovely word,
That's when you're worn out and tired. Gosh, kerfurkled.
Oh, I love that one.
That's a good name.
Isn't it a lovely word?
I love that one. Right, I'll get to the end. Which word would you use to mean not attending school? If you were being naughty.
Oh.
Did you have a word?
Absent, but they wouldn't use that. Say that.
Kids wouldn't say it, would they?
If you don't have a word, that's fine.
Well, like when I was at that sort of age, to even think about it...
We didn't even think of taking a day.
I school. Wouldn't have done it. My mother would have just ripped my head off. Twagging. Yeah.
Whatting?
Twagging.
Oh.
But again, I would associate that more with...
Oh, wagging, I've heard. Wagging
I've
school.
Heard wagging
yes,
as well.
I haven't
but
heard that, though.
Yeah, I think that's more of an East Riding word.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Sometimes when children are being very naughty, their parents tell them that someone will come and take them away. What do you call this mysterious person? Now, we might not use this phrase anymore.
The
that's
bogeyman.
You grow crops and raise animals on a...
farm?
Small holding. Yeah. Farm, yes.
When you walk in the countryside after heavy rain, your shoes will get covered in...
mud.
Muck.
When driving in ice or wet weather, you must take care because the roads are...
icy.
I've used the word sleep.
Oh, sleep. Yes. Uncle John. Auntie Ethel's Uncle John.
Yeah, I can imagine him saying that.
Yes.
Shout.
It's a story. I don't know whether it came from your mother or my dad. They used to have a dance in the town hall in Helmsley. And he was trying to be posh. And he was dancing with this person, this girl. And he said, oh, he's rather sleep, isn't he?
I can remember
Do you know that story?
That story.
So that's where it's coming from.
Oh, my word. Because he wasn't at all. He was a big,
no, he wasn't.
Great big fella. Well, he looked great big fella to
well,
me when I was a
kid. Big fella, actually.
Well, he just had this huge personality. Yeah. Frightened the hell out of me. Shout from one end of the yard to the other at Mill Scott.
Rather sleep, isn't it?
That's such
a... Adam would know that word.
Well, there's quite a few people who still use it, actually. Like,
it's very descriptive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which word do you use as a term of endearment, even with strangers? Again, do you? You
know? No, I don't call anybody love or dear. Or...
Yeah, I do, because I can't even remember people's names. Love, yeah.
I never say that.
It's the best one I've ever heard was... Or you're right, my lover, which is West Country.
Oh, yeah, that's one. There's a chap in Helmsley, he says to everybody, when he say hello, hello, my dear.
Oh,
and patronizing. I'm not your dear.
Patronising.
But,
So that it follows on to this one, then. Which word would you use to refer to someone as very attractive? Would you have a word for saying?
I suppose we would have said, oh, he's a bit of all right.
Probably.
At some point. Don't say things like that now.
No. No.
Would you use a different word if it was a child? You know, if they were...
Bonnie.
Sweet little item.
Me, Christian and I have the same view on small children. Seen and not heard is a good thing.
Do you have a word for spreading rumours?
No, I don't listen to gossip.
No, I don't think so.
A picture not hanging straight is hanging...
Cockeyed.
Lopsided. Oh. Cockeyed, yes.
What do you call a very small piece of wood that's got in your finger?
Spell.
Yeah. I don't think I would use it now because nobody I know would know what that word meant.
We were often saying, oh, Mum, I've got a spell in my finger. Mm. She'd say, come here and go like that.
Yeah, I would have to say probably a splinter or something because a spell and it's a word that nobody I know would know.
You'd know it's meaning.
But it was very little, because then I'd have to spend 10 minutes explaining it.
What do you call a person who mends shoes and boots?
Cobbler.
Yeah, cobbler. Yeah.
And do you have any other words that you'd like to tell me about? Is there any words, I don't know, within your family or something that you use that perhaps no one
Well, my other cousin, we sometimes say, I'll think, have you heard of this word? No. And then... We might say yes, and then somebody else doesn't know it, and we think that some words might just happen in a family.
Yeah, that could. I would imagine so, yeah.
You see, my dad, when it got too hot and he was somewhere, he said, God, I nearly tormed over.
No, I've not heard that
have you
one.
Not heard? No. I mean...
Yeah.
You do tend to think of people having, like, adopting words and inheriting words.
Definitely. Yes.
Well, sometimes kids mispronounce something and it's considered a joke and so everybody uses it and they're after, don't they?
That's right, yes. And my dad would say about somebody, he's got a sawmy look about him. Have you heard that?
Mm.
I take it to mean this person has gone sort of grey or white, like before they faint.
Not so well.
Mm. But that's again,
that's
nobody's
not a
heard
word.
Of that.
No,
and
I
it's something my dad
You're
said.
You ask that dialect gentleman whether he knows it.
Well, yes.
I think it's in my dictionary.
Oh!
I'll have a look for you, I'm sure.
Well, I've no idea how
before.
To spell it. But see, when I'm talking to Adam, it's about a funeral booking or something like that. Mm. We never have a chat about words.
He's a great person to have a chat with.
Yes, I know.
Well, sounds interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want me to, you'd like to tell me, share with me before I switch this off?
It's amazing, isn't it? We'll go home and I'll think, oh, yes.
Yeah. Can't think of anything. Probably will.
We've covered quite a lot. We've covered an awful lot.
Oh, yeah? Right, I'll switch it.